This is a replay of the Tuesday night, May 13th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday to Thursday from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and as promised, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Obviously, the Menendez, as I like to call the Menendez brothers, are in the news completely, but actually, to me, the big story wasn't them. Yeah, I'll explain it in a moment, but we want to bring in Lisa from Dundee, who I know has been trying, but keeping up with this all the way around. So, Lisa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, thanks, Raleigh. Yeah, I just heard that they're the Menendez brothers were resentenced today.
No, yes, that part is true. But here's the interesting part about this. And the judge did not reduce the charges to manslaughter, which, of course, is what Gregaris, their lawyer, wanted. But what he did do is say, I'm resentencing it from life without parole for 50 years to life. And he did that. Now, to me, the story isn't about the Menendez brothers, although for them, this is celebrated news, and we'll get into that. But to me, when I heard this afternoon, I gasped. And again, it wasn't about the Menendez. It was about what type of political acumen does this DA have? All right, so we're talking about a guy who has been very vocal about saying nothing should be happening here. They should not be resentenced and all of that. Everybody else to a person, including warden at the jail and other people involved with the Menendez brothers and all that, were all on the side of what the previous DA, that's who started this, the guy who was DA before January, who wanted the resentencing. So here comes Hochman, our new guy, and he's pushing that there not be a change. So from a political standpoint, what the hell was he thinking?
Yeah, I don't know.
See, that's the part I don't get, because obviously these are elected officials. He's sitting there, he's new to the chair, and he is, the former guy, I guess, had opened the door to this last fall, asking a judge to reduce the sentences. But then, of course, time took its toll, and next thing you know, there's a new DA. Why on earth would he do this? I don't get it.
Well, what I don't understand is if it's 50 years to life and they've only served 30.
Okay, let me explain 50 years. Okay, I can explain.
Yeah, I don't understand that part.
It's really easy.
Because they say they're eligible for parole immediately.
They are. Because California has a youthful offender statute. And the fact that they were under the age of 26 when they committed the crime, they are considered in the state of California to be youthful offenders. And therefore, that's the loophole that meant they were eligible for parole immediately. If they had committed this crime at 30, no, they would have to serve the first 50.
It's so confusing.
Well, you know, I always say it's the game of court. You know, I don't think Milton Bradley could have come up with anything as good as our justice system.
No, but, it always amazes me if somebody kills, you know, 2-3 people, they get, you know, life sentence for each person, which is, you know,
well,
so
in those cases, what they're trying to do is make sure there is no possible parole when they're doing that concurrent thing. That's what it's about. It's less about, you know, of course, obviously, the guy's not going to be alive to serve multiple life terms, but there probably won't be parole. You can see how that happens. But there's so many cases. I mean, what happened in Nebraska last week was stunning to me. You probably heard about this, but a father who has serious mental health issues. He was originally what they called manic depressive bipolar, and it continued down its path, and he became somewhat psychotic. Now, his wife, when he was standing over her with a knife in March when she woke up, should have at that point gotten the kids and herself out of the house, but she didn't. So last week, he killed the children, he killed the wife, then he killed himself. And you say to yourself, this was well known that he had serious mental problems. In fact, he got out of the hospital the day before. How the hell did they let this happen? But there you have it.
Yeah, you really just don't know.
No. Well,
but this still has to go through the parole board.
Oh, absolutely, it does. And
then it goes to the governor for a final decision.
Right, but I don't think, you know, at this point, that governor is hanging on for dear life. You know, I mean, when his party didn't win in November, he knew he had to regroup. And he's a political animal from day one. So I don't see him doing anything for that. But the parole board, there's interesting, there was a recommendation that came out, and that was one of the things in the trial, could it be brought in or not, and all that stuff. It is favorable. But what the judge today said, he gave it long thought, but one of the things that moved him was a letter submitted by a prison official who wrote in support of the resentencing, something he had never done for any incarcerated person in 25 years. He said, I'm not saying they should be released. It's not for me to decide. I do believe they've done enough in the past 35 years that they should get that chance.
Wow.
And so, you had that. You had so many people who came out in the last 35 years, including other people who served with them, which was interesting. One of them had said that what these boys did for me in prison changed my life. I am now on the straight and narrow. I've got a family. None of that would have been possible without their help. Those are potent things to say to a judge.
Yeah, and I guess they hadn't gotten in trouble or anything. There were
no, exactly.
One of them got a write-up in the very beginning, and then after that, nothing.
Right, and you're always going to have in communal living for 35 years, you're going to have that kind of stuff. But the overwhelm, and you know, I'm not here to judge them either. Like I say, to me, the story wasn't even about them. It was just about who would waste their political currency on this, you know. I just can't imagine. But Honore Brown was the person who had been incarcerated, and he cried on the stand saying, you know, they helped me heal. They helped me get on a path to rehabilitation. They helped me get my release. I have children now. Without Lyle and Eric, I would still be in there doing stupid things.
Yeah, so, and I guess 20 family members were there.
Yeah.
So the next parole board's the 13th of June.
Right. And I would be surprised if they weren't released as far as that goes. Because
really? You think they'll be? Because at one point, one of the articles said that this could take, you know, a long time.
Could.
And maybe years.
It could.
But, of course, if you look at what Mark Arago says, he thinks it's going to happen right away.
Well, I do, too. And again, I think based on the mound of evidence, I don't know, other than the sitting DA, I don't know anybody who is against this.
Right.
And so, and one of the things that obviously has changed since 35 years ago is now the courts take very seriously accusations about sexual abuse and things like that, which was not allowed to be heard in the first trial.
Right. So, well, I think it was heard in the first trial, but then when it was a hung jury.
Right, exactly.
The second trial, they had to take it out.
Right, the one that put them where they are. Exactly.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, so, one of the things that the current DA is saying, they don't seem remorseful enough, yet everybody who has been directly involved with them say they show great remorse.
Right.
Now, see, again, I don't know. I have no idea. But what I do know is, looking at this mountain of evidence, here's Nathan Hawkman saying, oh, they haven't taken responsibility. They shouldn't be let out. And what are you thinking, Nathan? You know,
do you think this is going to kind of open Pandora's box now for other...
No, I doubt it, because...
Victims that are, murder people that...
I doubt it, because unfortunately, you don't see this type of a pattern in most of them. I'm not there, but by all the jail evidence and all the people who interacted, it's everybody, virtually, other than Nathan Hawkman, who are singing their praises. That's rare. Like the judge saying, the jail official who wrote on their behalf, who'd never done it before, that kind of thing. It's unlikely. So as I say, to me, the story had nothing to do with Lyle or Eric, and everything to do with Nathan Hawkman. I'm like, what is he thinking? I don't know him, obviously, but I would love to be a fly on the wall to understand what his rationale was here.
Yeah, but I think about sometimes some of the women in the Manson, they're up for parole and after 30 or how many years, and they're always denied. But
well, they're
I wonder if they're already up for parole.
Some have been paroled.
Yeah, true.
As far as that goes, and some have died, of course.
Right.
I don't know who's still serving. I'm trying to think.
Well, there's one. She keeps... I can't think of her name, but...
I'm trying to think, too.
She's got... Well, all had long hair.
Now, Krenwinkel, she's still in jail. Krenwinkel.
Yeah, maybe that's what...
Patricia Krenwinkel.
Because I know Sharon... sister always goes and,
Yeah. Leslie Van Houten was released on parole, and that was in 23. And Squeaky Fromm was she was attempting to assassinate Gerald Ford. Now, I don't know how she was involved with the murders.
I think what's the word? But, I think they got some of the information from her to
convict.
Well, interesting. The others, right.
You have Susan Atkins, who died in prison, and that's been over a decade. Linda Kasabian, she was granted immunity in exchange for her testimony. So that was from the start. But she died also in 2023, I think.
And isn't there a guy that's in jail, too?
Oh, there's a few. No, Bobby Beausoleil, Bruce Davis, Tex Watson. Yeah. Those three, they're still in jail. I think Clem Grogan was released. I think that's the only one I can think of, a male who was released, but I'm not sure. Again, some of these people were peripheral to that, but Beausoleil was involved in that mess, and there were Tex Watson, of course.
Tex Watson, I think, is the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, and he was denied parole in 2021. I don't know. I don't know after that what the deal is on him, but. Oh, man, that was a very public thing, and let's face it, none of those people, the most they could have claimed was that they were temporarily insane because of Manson or something, but they had nothing where they could say the people that we killed were a danger to me. No, the people that they killed were in the wrong house at the wrong time.
Exactly.
They thought they were going after Terry Melcher.
That's right.
Right, and so, talk about fate. That's... Just
good. I remember all this just like it was yesterday, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was just so fascinating to me. And
yeah. Well, I remember it, too, as well, because I peripherally knew Terry Melcher. I'm like, oh, my God. The idea that he really was the target, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a doubt about that. But anyhow.
No, I don't think so either. Well, I guess the Menendez brothers will either get out or they'll stay in jail.
Right, and then go to another hearing. That's absolutely right. But I think, again, while the board isn't supposed to be political and all that, but you look at the story surrounding this, and the only person who in any way is saying stay in is the new DA. So I'd be surprised if they still are. Now we can take bets on it and see, because we'll know in about a month.
That's right.
Yeah. So I say out. Do you say out?
I would like to see them out, but I'm not sure it'll be that quick.
Okay, so you're putting your money on not out. All right. All right. Very good.
Okay, we don't need to put any money on it, do we?
It's a dime a piece. Yeah, 10 cents
a piece. How
about
a song request?
Yeah, we can do it. Well, see, I'll do that regardless if you win or not. So what's the song request? What do you want? What's the latest? Do you want to add to your stash? Because we have from last night, Dance With Me by the Drifters. So we're going to get that on tonight.
Oh, good. Great. I'll be listening.
Okay, good. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, Raleigh.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, so there you have it on the Menendi. But like I say, when I first heard it, I wasn't thinking about the brothers, just thinking about what was Hockman thinking. And, of course, he'll be interviewed, and it won't matter what he says. So we'll get to Eduardo in Tampa. Marianne in Chicago's got some requests, and there's plenty of room for you tonight right here on WGN Radio.
Dance with me. Dance with me. Closer and closer, much closer, while the music plays. My little darling, won't you dance with me? Oh, hold me tighter, tighter and tighter, much tighter, while the rhythm sways. Put your lips to mine, while the music plays.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and the Drifters, that's for Lisa, and that's Dance With Me. That's, of course, the second group of Drifters. George Treadwell owned the name, and so when he got mad at the first group, he fired them and hired Benny King's group, who, of course, promptly left a year later. But in the 1959 was big for them. A lot of strings. Of course, most people cite There Goes My Baby, but they forget Dance With Me. There were absolutely strings on Dance With Me. You just heard them. And if you're wondering who conducted the strings, oh, we've got that for you, too. Richard Wess. All right. And, of course, Lieber and Stoller produced it and wrote it. They wrote it under pseudonyms. So, 888-876-5593. We'll check out the news, then we'll get back to Marianne Eduardo and you on WGN Radio.
Set yourself down for a rest when you know that I'm
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Esquires, and Billy Bob and Bourbonnais requested it. Don't have to but twist my arm to play that. I love it. Yeah, Bunky Shepherd, that's who was responsible for that. On the Bunky label, 1967. Milwaukee's own, the Esquires, that was the Maurer family. Originally in the late 50s, it was Betty and the Esquires, Betty Maurer, but then she dropped out and it was just the Esquires. And man, they tried. In fact, they first auditioned for Curtis Mayfield, and he turned them down. And then Constellation Records was really interested. Well, they folded by the end of 66. And then Bunky Shepherd ran into him and said, yeah, we can do something. And boy, did they. Bunky was distributed by Scepter back then. So that was the deal. Major hit. I think it was 11 on the pop charts and 3 on the R&B charts. And just, I loved the Esquires. Even the flip side of that. It was just everything they did. Okay, the follow-up and Get Away. A little lame, because it's the same record. But they really did a number of things that did not hit that absolutely should have. So happy to play that. All right, so 888-876-5593. Marianne has a request. All right, Marianne, what do you want to hear? I'm waiting.
Hello?
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, because it's a little like on this end, but
really, well,
yeah,
we're going back to the other studio tomorrow night because I'm giving up for the moment because yeah, the broadband connection here is not good the last couple days, and my normal guy who's head of tech he didn't respond today, which tells me he's probably not around because usually he's really good at responding. So I thought I'm going to cut my losses and go somewhere else tomorrow.
It's almost like talking through a fan.
Yeah, well, that's the good news. All right, so...
I was wondering if you heard the story out of Ohio.
What story?
They got it on body cam from the police. They pulled a 55-year-old woman over for I don't know what. Well, when they ran her information, they found out she was wanted. There was a warrant out for her arrest.
Uh-huh.
So as they're cuffing her and putting her in a squad car, they look in the back of her car.
Oh, this is the raccoon story.
Yeah.
This is Chewy. Yes.
Yeah.
Chewy. So yes, and apparently, yes. So go ahead. You know it, so tell it.
Well, he had a crack pipe.
Yep.
And they took it away and he found another crack pipe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Chewy was in the back of the car with a meth pipe in its mouth. That is a problem. And, of course, on camera, by the way, he not only has the crack pipe in his mouth, but both of his little paws are wrapped around it.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I heard it was hysterical.
Yeah, and so she gets charged with possession of drugs, 3 counts of paraphernalia, and driving with a suspended license.
And she should get cruelty to animals.
Well, I think that Chewy was happy. I don't think there was a problem there.
I don't know, but she's in jail. How's he going to get money for more meth?
Yeah, well, that is a problem. And after they hauled her off, Chewy was sitting in the driver's seat. So I don't know if he's smoking crack. I guess he thought he could drive.
Maybe.
So they found a bulk amount of meth. So I have no idea. There's a woman from Akron. Maybe that says it all. And so that was she was wanted, yes, in Cuyahoga. Cuyahoga Falls, that was an active warrant. I don't know. They turned her over there. I don't know if that was more drugs or what the deal is, but they have several pictures of Chewy here. And but by the car, when you look at the pictures, you can't help but see the rest of the car. And you realize that this woman is a hoarder, and that's putting it nicely.
Are living in her car.
Well, she might be. I don't know.
She's got that meth thing to support for her raccoon.
Yeah. Well, actually, Chewy looks like he's playing a mean trombone. So I think you could probably do something else with these pictures if you try to.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. So Chewy's a cutie, and meth pipe in its mouth. All righty then. So yes, Chewy. I don't know what they did with Chewy. I'm sure they didn't arrest Chewy, but hopefully Chewy is
probably went to a rehab place.
Yeah. So, that's the deal there. All right. So anybody who wants to look it up online, I mean, I'd hold the picture right up to the microphone, but absolutely nothing will form on your speaker. So look it up. It is cute.
Well, I was kind of excited the other day because I wanted to tell my son, I was in the kitchen and two cardinals landed on the deck. You know, and I recently lost two friends.
Yeah.
After they're visiting me, right?
Right.
And a little while later, they were over on my neighbor's deck, and I couldn't wait for her to get home to tell her. And in the meantime, my son sends me a text message. Look what I found in my yard. A peacock.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Well,
okay, one peacock trumps two cardinals.
Oh, yeah, one. Absolutely it does. You're 100% right about that. But I don't know what it is about peacocks on the loose, but there was one in suburban Philadelphia recently. Guy opened his front door of his row house, and there's a peacock standing there. So I don't know.
Well, he found where it was supposed to go. Okay, he lives in Gobi, Michigan, which is right by Kalamazoo.
Uh-huh.
And I guess, you know, when they say a couple doors down, there, you got to drive.
Yeah.
Had a chicken farm, and they had the peacock in with the chickens for some reason.
Well, it's...
I don't know if they calm them down or protect them or what.
I don't know. But in Michigan, it's legal to own a peacock. So, you know, you can have a pet peacock. They don't have any prohibition against it.
No, but the funny thing is, my son's like an animal magnet.
Oh.
You know, him and his girlfriend, especially this time of the year.
Yeah.
The snapper turtles, for some reason, because it's sandy alongside the highway.
Uh-huh.
They build their nest.
Sure.
But they build it four lanes across from where they need to go to get to the pond.
Ah.
So they're always going. I said, how do you see these little things? And he goes, we do. And they get out and they collect them. He's got huge tanks. He lets them get to where they're big enough where a predator won't bother them. And then he lets them go.
They need to build a bridge. They did this in Calgary for the elk. They built a nice crossing bridge for the elk right over the interstate.
Yeah, they build things for monkeys in other countries.
So, that's right, so why not? Yeah, but the elk love it.
I don't know if the baby turtles will be smart enough to... Why can't they just teach the mom to lay their eggs on the other side?
I have no my knowledge of snapping turtles is very limited, to say the least. But I assume if they can train mom to cross, that the babies will follow. I don't know.
No, mom goes.
Yeah, I understand that. That's what I mean. They need a bridge.
She should, you know, leave them post-it notes or something.
No, not going to be happening. All right, well, the endangered snap turtle population, I do guess. Some amphibian I was reading about earlier today in Mexico, of all things. And the reason I noticed this, it was the cutest little amphibian. It was pink, it smiles, and it's got the cutest little feet and all that. But anyway, it's endangered, and they raised a bunch of them their own environment. And then they invented a wetland, they created a wetland, and they released them, and they're thriving. So they're the cutest little pink amphibians, so you have to check them out.
Oh, nice, and pink's my favorite color.
Oh, well, you'll like these. They are just adorable.
That and I want a sugar glider.
Oh, all right. Very good. All right.
So. But I guess I'll get to my request.
That would be good.
Oh, wait, I got one more thing to tell you. I recently had a polyp removed from my voice box.
Good. It came out okay. You're still talking.
Yeah, it was benign, and good. It took almost 2 weeks to get my voice back.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least you got it back.
Yeah, and the thing is, I have Alexa in the house, and I couldn't say the word Alexa. It just would not come out. So I whispered it. I got real close. I go, Alexa, what's the temperature? And she went,
what?
She whispered it back to me.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And I couldn't hear it.
That's
so funny.
And the friend
that gave it to me said, you know she's making fun of you.
No. No, I don't want to think about it.
I said, yeah, till I pull the cord.
You know, with a couple of keystrokes, you just could have gone to, like, weather.gov and looked it up yourself. You do know this.
I know, but I was just sitting there, and I didn't want to get up and get my tablet or anything. And I had the TV on. I could have seen when they flashed it on the screen.
All of that, yes, exactly.
Nope.
So what song do you want to hear?
I would like the Shy Lights, Have You Seen Her?
Oh, a big hit. Okay, you betcha.
I love that song.
Yeah, good record. All right, good. We'll do it.
Okay. All right, talk
thanks.
To you later.
Good deal.
Bye.
All right. So we'll get to Eduardo here in a moment. But right now, I want to extol the virtues of the CC Radio 2E. It's the one that sits by my bedside, and it is wonderful. It sounds good, and it's got all the features. But like every radio that Bob Crane has developed, it just has superior reception. It is built to make weak signal strong and to produce accurate audio. It's just terrific. It's got that twin coil ferrite built-in antenna, and traditional FM reception is excellent as well. But for me, I'm an AM girl, and it just beats them all. And they also have the NOAA weather band and the weather alert, so you've got that, and the 2 meter ham band, which can be a lot of fun. And if you go to ccradio.com, you can read all about the 2 meter ham band if you don't know. It's got a clock and an alarm and a sleep timer and 5 one-touch memory presets per band, and it's got in and out jack, stereo headphone jack, and you can fine tune any way you want. And see, this doesn't matter here in the States, where we use 10 kilohertz tuning, like, you know, 700, 710, 720, 730, and on. Well, the rest of the world, for the most part, uses 9 kilohertz tuning. So that would be like 540, 549, 558, 567. You get the idea. And so this radio will do it, because it will tune in 1 kilohertz increment. So whether it's the it's the 10 kilohertz tuning you want, or it's the 1 kilohertz tuning to fine tune, you got it all. There's an included AC power cord, and if you put 4D batteries in it, they're not included, you'll get about 250 hours out of this radio at moderate volume with the display light off, and that's a lot of time. Without the batteries, a total weight is about 4 pounds. It's about 11 inches wide and about 6.5 inches high and 4 inches deep. So it's a nice footprint, and you can get it in black or titanium and all that. But what I really love about it is that if that signal is over your head, this is the radio that will pick it up. So that's the CC Radio 2E. Just terrific AM reception, FM reception too. So go to ccradio.com, look at the CC Radio 2E. If you can't go online for some reason, well, you can give them a call. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Now, they'll answer all your questions. You can order by phone, or they'll send you a hard copy of the catalog in the mail, and you can look at it to your heart's content. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. Now, I always say there is a test. Take the CC Radio 2E, put it next to the average radio, tune to a weak AM station on the average radio that you can barely pick up. Then try the Sea Crane, the CC Radio 2E, right next to it. It'll blow it out of the water. One of the best on the market today, period. And the sound quality is just terrific. So ccradio.com, you look at the CC Radio 2E, you tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
In the misty moonlight, by the flickering firelight, any place is all right, long as I'm with you.
As long as I'm with you.
In a faraway land, on the tropic sea sand, if your hand's in my hand, I won't be blue. Way up on a mountain, down in the valley, I know I'll be happy any place, anywhere. I don't care, in the misty moonlight, by the flickering firelight, any place is all right, long as you are there.
I'm Raleigh James. 1968, on Reprise, his friend Frank Sinatra's label, but nonetheless, had a top 40 hit with In the Misty Moonlight. That's Dean Martin, And we're playing that for Betty, who is Dave on the North Side's girlfriend. So she likes Dean Martin. And it's interesting to think that this was a guy who was having chart records in the mid-40s, and by the latter 60s, he's still having chart records. So pretty amazing. A lot of volume of material released, of course, but the fact that it hit, just interesting. So, all right, there's Dean Martin and In the Misty Moonlight. All right, Eduardo is in Tampa. Eduardo, welcome back to wait a minute. I think I said welcome back, but I think you have to hang on till after the news. Don't go away, Eduardo. All right. So
okay.
Good deal. We'll keep Eduardo there. We have two more hours of this, and your request coming up as well. Everything from Red So Vine, though I think I'll play the original of that. Yeah, we'll get to that. And if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine right here on WGN Radio.
Now, if you ever been down to New Orleans, then you can understand just what I mean. Now, all through the week it's quiet as a mouse, but on Saturday night they go from house to house. You don't have to pay the usual admission if you're a cook or a waiter or a good musician. So if you happen to be just passing by, stop in at the Saturday night fish fry. It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn. It was rocking, it was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn. Now my buddy and me was on the main stem, fooling around just me and him. We decided we could use a little something to eat, so we went to a house on Rampart Street. We knocked on the door and it opened with ease, and a lush little miss said, "Come in, please." And before we could even bat an eye, we were right in the middle of a big fish fry. It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn. It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn. Now the folks was having the time of their life, and Sam was jiving Jimmy's wife, and over in the corner was a beat-up grand being played by a big fat piano man. Now some of the chicks wore expensive frocks, some of them had on Bobby socks, but everybody was nice and high at this particular Saturday night fish fry. It was rocking. It was rocking.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and so there it is, Louis Jordan, Saturday Night Fish Fry, 1949 on Decca. That was number one for 12 weeks on the R&B charts, and interestingly, one of the few race records back then that crossed over, and it got to number 21 on the pop charts, quite the accomplishment. It was co-written, actually, by Ellis Walsh, and interestingly, the first recording was Eddie Williams and his Brown Buddies, and Ellis Walsh was doing the vocals. And that was, I think that was like number two. And they had done Broken Hearted, and then this was going to be the next big single. Well, so they recorded it first, but the acetate found its way to Louis Jordan's agent, and they got it out first. Jordan changed the song a little bit as far as that goes, but bottom line is just a huge, huge hit, and playing that also for Dave on the North Side. All right, so now, Eduardo in Tampa. What's up tonight, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh. Well, before I get into the latest job assignment this Friday, I don't know if you ever got a chance to play Latin Vibe, that song, How Do You Feel?
I forgot all about it. Okay, I'm glad you're doing this.
Yeah, whenever you get around to it.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, I'll write it down. I never would have done it if you didn't say it again, because I don't know what happened to that slip of paper. So, all right, I will look for that as we're speaking.
Yeah, so moving on. So not counting the training I told you last week about safe management that's coming up next week, as you know, I'm signed up with On Target Staffing, too. Remember,
yeah.
I told you that.
Yeah.
So they text me on Monday, and there's a assignment this Friday. It's only one day because the band has to be in Nashville next week.
Okay.
So it's only this Friday, so I got to be there by 3.
Okay.
And going by my experience of the Billy Joel concert, I'm going to say they're going to will probably be there till 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Maybe midnight, I don't know, something like that.
And they'll pay you. That's the best part.
Well, sure, of course. That's the good part, yeah.
Yes.
They told us to come in black. I don't know why. Although, I must say, the band, that's interesting they said it because the band's colors is black, I believe. So
okay.
That's interesting, but I don't know what. But they said to come in all black. I actually had to go to a nearby Walmart to get whatever I didn't have in black.
Okay.
But it's funny. But, you know, just following directions here. So I'll make sure to get there before 3, and we'll see how it goes. I mean,
yeah.
So I could be doing ushering, backing up security, greeting, okay. Stuff like that. So
good.
I'll know Friday when I get there, because once I check in there, there'll be other staffing agencies, but I got to go to the one that says on target, because that's the one I'm assigned with.
Right.
Yeah. And there'll be a supervisor there, and so he'll tell me where I'm going. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear all about it.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting, you know, my first experience of that. And then, you know, obviously I'm looking forward to the training next Friday. And that'll involve any concerts and games at Raymond James Stadium only.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, yeah, pretty interesting development. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. I can't wait to hear about it. Also, be curious how the band is, if you actually enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, should I say it, Riley? You probably already know, but it's AC/DC.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be a lot of people there.
I did listen to them when I was young, but that was it. I mean, after I got older, I just didn't have the feeling for that music.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I have any of that on this computer, but nonetheless, they certainly were big and they had a lot of fans, so there's going to be a lot of people there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there is.
The good news is
they're
older now, so if you are working security, you probably won't have to work too hard.
I'll run into some people that are my age, I think.
Yeah.
Or even older, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, have fun.
I don't think there's anybody there either below 30 coming in.
Yeah. I'll look forward to it. Can't wait
to
hear every bit.
All right, I'll get on to the
next call. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right,
so
that'll be fun. Yes, Eduardo and the AC/DC concert. Well, why not? It pays. So 888-876-5593 takes us to Isaac on the south side. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi. Good evening. I was calling for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
One, Moms Mabley and Pearl Bailey, my girl.
Yeah.
They also recorded that song. I know we were talking about Moms Mabley last week, I think.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there. Second, I think John Landecker, the guy who comes on before you on WGN, I think it was him. It might have been someone else. But they were talking about how when they started in radio, they would have to sign a form that said that they did not take any gifts over $20.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because payola was such a big thing?
Well, you see, payola wasn't illegal initially for employees. It was illegal for the licensee to take money, and it was payola / plugola. So it didn't matter whether it was playing a record and not admitting you got paid for it. By the way, if you sponsored it, if you said you got paid, that was never illegal. But to play it and get paid and not admit it, that was illegal. Same thing for plugola. Like if you claimed that American Airlines was flying all the guests in for the show, and actually they weren't, they were just handing you money, which is exactly what happened with the Dick Clark Beechnut show. But anyway, that's illegal. So, like I said, it was a loophole. It was never illegal for a disc jockey to go ahead and take the money. So after the payola hearings, the FCC did a lot of different things to revise some regulations, and one of them was the 500 series, where you would sign if you were an employee that you hadn't taken anything. But that form did not exist before 1951 because the statute didn't exist before 1951.
Okay.
It was 508 was the form, and the form was disclosure of payments to individuals connected with broadcasts. So again, it didn't have to be the record, but if you got money for anything you did on the air, sponsorship or the record or whatever, according to Section 508, now you as an employee, as far as that goes, and 507 was sponsor identification, but anyway, you signed this. This was fairly common.
Was it common for jockeys to say, oh, and I was paid to play that record, or was it?
No one ever said it. You see, but again, okay. It wasn't illegal initially.
Okay.
You know, as I mentioned many times, the Paola hearings were an outgrowth of the quiz show scandal. And after the quiz show scandal, when they were looking for something to investigate, Mitch Miller believed to his dying day that any disc jockey who played a rock and roll record must have been paid to do it because they would never voluntarily do it. He believed it. So, you know, he was busy calling everybody he could in Washington to investigate this, but the investigation really didn't get underway until the governor of Tennessee, Clement, called because of what happened at the 1959 disc jockey convention to his wife, Lucille. So that's what really kicked it off.
Just quickly, what happened to his wife?
Okay, you see, a lot of people think, by the way, that the Paola hearings were an outgrowth of an independent journalist who wrote an article in the Miami Herald in 1959 about the second annual disc jockey convention, and the headline was Booze, Broads, and Bribes. No, that was actually just icing on the cake. The real story, and I don't know that there's anybody alive who would remember this other than me, but was, you know, remember the purpose of the disc jockey convention was to uplift the image of the top 40 disc jockey, because back then they were akin to child rapists or something. You couldn't get an apartment, you couldn't get a bank account, you couldn't get anything. So here is Todd Storrs, the owner of one of the two big top 40 chains, who has these conventions. The first one in Kansas City in 1958 was a big success, other than Mitch Miller proclaiming rock and roll dead, but that's another story. Anyway, so here comes the second annual disc jockey convention at the Americana Hotel in Bal Harbour, Florida. Now, to improve the image of the disc jockey, he had a lot of luminaries who would come and, you know, supposedly make speeches and all that. Well, so here is the governor of Tennessee, Clement. Give him hell, Clement. And he's there with Pat Boone, of all people, because, of course, you know, Pat's sort of a cleaned-up rock and roll star. All right, so here's Pat, and here's Clement, and here's Clement's wife, Lucille. Now, Lucille was a young, very good-looking kind of fashion plate lady. In fact, she did an impromptu fashion show at the 1956 Democratic Convention and all this. So here she is. Now, let's back up and say there's a lot of entertainment at these conventions, and one of them was Moish Leiby, Roulette Records.
Yes, it always comes up.
Yeah, of course. Well, the word was that he paid every hooker on the East Coast to come to this convention. Now, I don't know if it was everyone, but it was a lot. Well, here was the deal, though. The way they were going to be recognized by the disc jockeys was they would all be wearing a green dress. Now, that was the deal. That's what we all knew. The ladies in the lobby in a green dress, that's fair game. Well, the news never got to Lucille the fashion plate. And, of course, green was a fairly attractive color that season. It was kind of in vogue. And here she is wearing an undeniably green gown next to her husband, the governor, and Pat Boone, and it was a fondle fest. So Clement gets mad. Do you blame him? And he goes back to Tennessee, and now he's the one calling Washington. You really ought to investigate this. So that's what really kicked it off. A lot of people don't know that.
I'm trying to... Is there any way I could go online to read more about
Well, this? Yeah, I actually, my book is free online, and I do a couple chapters devoted to all this stuff.
Okay, I'll get that. Okay, yeah, I have one more question.
By the way, on Raleigh.net, there's a link directly to it.
Okay, great.
So, yeah.
Lastly, I think, I'm not sure if, was Alan Freed involved in the Paola?
Well, now, again, let's talk about Alan Freed a moment. Remember the years. This is a guy who's big from the early 50s. It's not illegal. Now, the deal is that, yeah, Alan Freed took money, but let's also back up and say, prior to all the changes because of the Paola hearings, disc jockeys picked their own music. That didn't happen after it. Stations had a music director. Now, at the time, we joked, oh, good, you only have to pay one person instead of seven. But the reality is that it was formatted. Now, prior to that, the disc jockey was responsible for his own music. And the reality is most of these guys, as far as just being disc jockeys, were pretty terrible. If you've ever listened to Alan Freed, it's almost indigestible. He's not good at what he does. But He loved the music, and he played the right stuff. See, that was true about Art LeBeau. It was true about Huggy Boy. True about Bob Horn, the first host of Bandstand. None of these guys were good by disc jockey standards, but all of them had the great ears that they knew what they were playing. And mm-hmm. so that's what it was. So, of course, Alan Freed was not a fool. He wasn't going to take money for a stiff, because, of course, his whole popularity was based on these kids knowing he was playing the right songs. But mm-hmm. while he wasn't taking money for a stiff, there weren't too many hits that were going to get on the air without some money, too. So, sure mm-hmm. he was. But to tell you how common this was, you know, originally he was in Akron and then Cleveland, and then he came to New York to WINS, and then WABC hired him. When WABC hired him, this is before the Paola hearings considerably, the lawyers for ABC, which at the time, remember, they also owned Ampar, which was the publishing company, and American ABC Paramount Records, and the lawyers actually said to him, well, now that you're with ABC, we trust you'll be playing ABC product, with a wink and a nod, all right? So mm-hmm. needless to say, he was more than a little upset when here comes ABC saying he has to sign a declaration that he never took payola. Well, of course he took payola, and he wasn't willing to sign it. And see, what happened then, and this led to his downfall and his ultimate death, he died of a bleeding ulcer and drinking. But anyhow, the deal was he never, ever understood why Dick Clark got a pass and why they were hanging him out to dry. He just couldn't understand it. Well, he would have understood it if he knew what was going on with Leonard Goldenson at ABC. Because, you see, Leonard was thrilled that ABC didn't have any quiz shows, so they didn't have to worry. But here comes the Paola hearings, and oh my dear God, because ABC was a half owner of the Saturday Night Beach Nut Show, the Dick Clark Show, which, like mm-hmm. I say, absolutely was mm-hmm. conducting plugola. Wasn't payola, but it was mm-hmm. plugola. Well, so Goldenson, from what I understand at his house in Westchester, damn near passed out. He got Clark up there in a picosecond, and they sat for like a day and a half crafting the perfect thing for him to sign. Well, of course, it wasn't because they loved Dick Clark. It was because they were on the line for this. Well, of course, mm-hmm. Alan Freed never understood why he was singled out and why Clark got a pass. But Clark got a pass because Goldenson didn't want ABC to hang, because the licensee would be responsible. The disc jockey wouldn't, but the licensee would be. So that went down. Oh, man, he never got over it. You'll read about that, too. But so
Was Clark more willing to go along with sign on the dotted line also?
No, he didn't have to. Well, ABC crafted it for him because they were the ones who were guilty. That's what I'm saying. But Clark was dirtier than anybody ever could. But the difference was, and Clark didn't know the music to save his soul. So, and that was obvious. But they hired him for other reasons. But so, okay, the deal is that here's ABC. They're going to craft something that makes Clark squeaky clean, because, of course, they're saving their own hide. It's not like Alan Freed thought that they were saving Dick's hide. No, they were saving their own hide, and they had to save Dick to do it. But the reality is Dick, in fact, in the Paola hearings, it was almost funny how they spent days trying to hang Dick Clark. But what they didn't understand was Dick Clark absolutely codified this. He corporatized this. For instance, if you appeared on Bandstand, you had to sign your appearance fee back to him. You didn't even get to keep your money. Yes, yes, yes. But it was all corporatized. He had corporations where he kept track of the money and all this. He owned the record labels. He owned the publishing. He owned a pressing plant, for God's sakes. I mean, you know. But
so when Don Cornelius said later on, and this is kind of unrelated, but he said that he felt that Dick Clark was the reason that Soul Train got canceled. And, you know, Soul Train went on into the 2000s.
I have trouble with that because of the history of the decades that ensued in there. You know, now there could have been some business thing, but it had nothing to do with payola or anything like that.
Right. No. He just was blaming Dick Clark. You were saying how powerful.
Okay.
Dick Clark
well, that's entirely possible, because Clark had a lot of power. Because again, he corporatized this stuff. And sure, if he wanted to do that, I would stand by Cornelius and say, "Yep, probably happened." But it.
Okay. And this is my last question. I'm going to get off.
All right.
Alan Freed called himself Moondog.
Yes.
And he got sued by an artist named Moondog. Right. And that's how I found out about the artist named Moondog. Anything that you like by him? Is he too out there? What do you think of Moondog?
No, in terms of Alan Freed, this goes back. You have to go back to the record companies too. But I'm against the news. There was a record retailer that's involved in that. But we'll talk about this next time.
Okay, next time. Right. I'll talk to you later, Rob.
Good deal. All right, so indeed. I just realized where we were. We'll get to John in Covington. There's room for you two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It is so nice. It has that real Brazilian feel, and it's from Italy. Yeah, Latin vibe, and that's the group, but it's really a guy named Giacomo Bondi, and he's done a number of things, a lot of the lounge music, if you will, but he had a couple albums as Latin vibe in 2003 and 4, I think. And so on his own label, near as I can tell, as far as that goes. I can't pronounce it, but it's been around. I think Goody Music manages them now, and thank God, because I can't pronounce it. But anyway, it's off the first album, Latin Vibe, and a nice one it is, and that is How Do You Feel? All right, so I'm glad that Eduardo brought that up, because I'd forgotten entirely that he requested it, and of course, I like playing it. So, 888-876-5593. John in Covington, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. I just, it's so weird that the news was on about the tainted cookies there in Chicago, cannabis cookies, kids were having a sale for school or whatever, and some of the cookies got tainted.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and then you played the Fish Fry song. Okay?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so what's funny, it's not funny, it's rather sad, but some of the old ladies at my parish, God love them, they got very upset because they could no longer bake and donate, you know. So here's what we did. Well, you're allowed to do this. If you buy something, and as long as you can prove you keep the empty package, like the church would keep the empty package in a receipt, yeah, then they would allow that. But anything like homemade, although this one little old lady, Father didn't have the heart to do it, so I told Father, I said, well, here's what we're going to do. She's going to make her usual lemon meringue pie, and I'm going to pay $25, you know, and she doesn't have to know anything about it. It'll make her, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and believe me, I'm not bragging when I say this, but the Lord's been very, very good to me. And so also besides the lemon meringue pie, I buy the Private Selection cheesecake. It's a Kroger cheesecake.
Okay.
Yeah, it's excellent. And then there's like four different varieties. And yeah, it's like $20, but guess what? I get a 10% discount because I was there so long. But yeah, that's my story, and I'm sticking to
All
it.
All right, I like it. Good deal. Well, thank you.
Now, could you play, next time I talk to you, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Bobby Darin. And if you don't like it, you don't have to play it, but could you play Queen of the Hop?
Sure.
I appreciate it.
I'm going to write your name down, so when I play it, I'll remember it's you. All right.
Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
Good deal. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So, happy to play Queen of the Hop. So, let's see. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. By the way, we will be getting Linda's request, Lover's Concerto, and of course the follow-up Attack, which interesting story about that song, or not. You either love it or hate it. It's one of those, sort of like Angel Baby. All right, Cindy in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Okay, well, first the good stuff. But anyhow, I have a song. I want to hear the original, though, from, like, I don't know, the teens or the 20s. Making Whoopee.
Oh, my God. All right.
But then, anyhow, I heard that song. That was pretty good. I got, you know, I've been so busy, I got to get into that era of music, and that flapper jazz. But then, anyhow, today I got another urinary tract infection.
I'm so sorry.
You know, I can laugh about today now. But anyhow, so I was on the phone with the nurse practitioner, so I know the time for the cameras when the crime happened. But then, I was on the phone with the nurse practitioner from Lutheran General, and it was around 3:45, and I heard a big glass breaking. Apparently, we figured it out at about 6:00. You know, we didn't know what it was. Someone threw a rock through my dining room window.
Really? Now, are you on the first floor?
No, I'm on the third floor. It was just a little, like, 2-inch rock.
All right, more like a pebble. All right, so who, any idea from whence it came?
Well, Mike said there's a bunch. It was after the high school got out across the street, and all the boys congregate behind the gas station and on the side of the gas station, which is real. There's a fence, but it's real close to the condo. So I know the time because I was on the phone with someone, and I looked up the time of the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
For the camera footage from the gas station, I could laugh at it, but it was just ridiculous. But then anyhow, so I'm gonna get the cam, and I filed the police. I thought about it, and I filed the police report. The thing about it, though, the detectives are gonna call me within two weeks to a month. So I tried calling the gas station to make sure I could get the footage, because sometimes that erases automatically after 10 days.
Right.
And if they're, you know, so I called the gas station, and he just hung up on me.
Yes.
And then I tried calling back, and he turned off his phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I called 311 back, and I got someone real nice. And she said, go talk to the manager tomorrow.
And did
And
you?
Then if the man, I don't, that's tomorrow.
Okay.
So if he gets rid of me, I'm just going to call the library and find out who owns that gas station.
Oh, yeah, you could do that. You would look it up online.
But then anyhow, you know, it's probably going to cost, because prices have gone up, $500.
What?
Like if I went to the hardware store, they would fix it for like a little over 50.
Yeah.
But I can't get it. All. I mean, I have to unscrew it, and can't do it. We can't do that.
Right.
It's a crank out window.
Yeah, you want somebody who knows what they're doing. All right, so you have no idea. You think this is an errant pebble? It wasn't aimed at you.
No, some teenagers were just goofing around, and somebody got mental and threw it.
All right, well, very little you can do.
Well, I'm just going to make, see if I could, well, the way things are, they could find out who the boy was if they see him throwing it and find out and make his parents painful.
Well,
and I don't care. Okay, if I got to go to court to make them pay, I don't care.
All right. Well, obviously you filed a police report, or you will.
Yeah, I did already.
Okay, good. So you've got a police report on that, and somebody should follow up and get the tape if you can't. So keep me posted.
Okay, but the other thing I was calling about the other day is that man whose granddaughter was abducted.
Yes.
His daughter was probably young when she married.
Well, we don't know, and that's not for us to go ahead and talk about. We don't know that.
But the thing about it is, this guy wasn't very bright, because nowadays there's cameras, they have his car.
Well, no, they know who took the child. They know where the child is. And the court hearing is Thursday.
They found him right away. I mean, if he used his debit card, who would do something like that?
A lot of people. A lot of people. But we'll see. Unfortunately, the story is about apparently biological father's family is heavily involved in law enforcement. And the question is going to be on Thursday, will the courts uphold the parental rights that are, in fact, belonging to Sam's daughter?
Wow.
So we'll find out.
Well,
and that'll
I've
be Thursday.
I've been praying. But, I was on the phone. Made like 30 phone calls today to try and find a doctor so I could see someone tomorrow about the urinary tract infection.
Well, good. Hopefully you found someone and you are going to see somebody.
Well, then the other thing is they could put you on a load. I wrote down the medication.
Well, be nice if somebody did a urinalysis and got a culture to find out exactly what you got.
Well, they could put you, if they can't do anything, they could put you on a low dose.
I fully understand that. It would be nice if they knew what it was. All right. Hopefully you will be able to see somebody and they'll be able to get a culture of that. Good luck.
All right. What a day.
All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so there you have it. And, making whoopee. That song, which is, we're talking about Eddie Cantor, like 1928, and it was, Ziegfeld and all that kind of stuff. And I think that Bing Crosby had a big version of it. But that was a warning to men, basically, making whoopee. It was, and the song, of course, begins with the celebration of the wedding and the honeymoon and moves on to babies and responsibilities and, affairs and divorce and the judge's advice. And, it's in public domain. Now, as far as that goes. But it was a warning to men, basically, about the trap. Yeah, don't get trapped into this marriage. And that's what the song was about in 28. But sure, we'll play that. It was Everybody and Their Brother Did It. Again, what they were selling back then was the sheet music. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, oh, good. I'm glad Jim from Richmond called. We're going to get his whole update. It'll probably be after the news because that's going to be a while. Ruth in Gurnee has something to add as well. And there's plenty of room for you. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Every time I hear that march from Lohengrin, I am always on the outside looking in. Maybe that is why I see the funny side when I see a fallen brother take a bride. Weddings make a lot of people sad, but if you're not the groom, it's not so bad. Another bride, another June, another sunny honeymoon, another season, another reason for making whoopee. A lot of shoes, a lot of rice. The groom is nervous, he answers twice. It's really killing that he's so willing to make whoopee. Picture a little love nest down where the roses cling. Picture the same sweet love nest. Think what a year can bring. He's washing dishes and baby clothes. He's so ambitious, even so. But don't forget, folks, that's what you get, folks, for making whoopee.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, there you have it. Yes, Eddie Cantor, who was born Isidore Itzkowitz. So Izzy Itzkowitz. And yeah, interesting background all the way around. But it was his eye-rolling affectation, if you ever saw him, that really large round eyes. And yeah, anyway, that was his trademark. And in illustrations, they'd exaggerate that and all that that kind of stuff. And in fact, he was on Broadway on Banjo Eyes. He also created the March of Dimes or was involved in that in some way as well, and a number of things. But Making Whoopi was from the Ziegfeld performance of Whoopi. And as I was saying, it was all about what would happen if you did, obviously. So that was the original, and that is for Cindy. So we'll pick it up next hour right here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and well, there it is. Like I say, that's a love-hate song. You either love it, you hate it, but it's got a history, actually. And yeah, Linda in Richmond Park requested, and here is the deal. That actually is based on Minuet in G Major, which was not Bach, as many people thought, but it was Christian Petzold. And that wasn't the first version of Christian's work. Bandleader Freddie Martin first did it as Lover's Concerto in the 1940s. He did a lot of concerto stuff. And Sandy Linzer and Denny Rendell wrote it for this version. And so that was the toys. And they picked her as lead singer for her distinctive voice, I guess. And the follow-up was also based on Petzold's work, Minuet in G minor. And if you don't remember that, I won't play much of it. because if you hate it, I'm not going to subject you to it all the way around. But actually, between the two, I thought the follow-up was actually a little bit better. But yeah, who's splitting hairs, right? Pretty well with the lyrics, actually. But there you have it. That concludes the Petzold section of the show. All right. So he said he'd call, and he did. So let's find out what's going on with Jim in Richmond. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you tonight, Jim?
I'm doing fine tonight, but good. I have a few things to talk about.
All right.
Last night, I called WGN. They would not answer the phone. And it's again tonight. Everything that's going on tonight is garbled.
There, yeah, I know. And there's nothing I can do about it. What this is an internet connection. And by the way, WGN will not answer the phone after hours, and it isn't anything that they're doing.
So it's my internet?
No, it is not your internet. Remember, my signal has to get to Chicago. Therein lies the problem. My provider is just... tomorrow I'll go to another studio with another provider. But for tonight, that's what this is. Remember, the connection gets to WGN via the internet.
Right.
Well, so and that's where the problem is.
And I was just trying to help.
It wouldn't help. And nobody answers at night. No radio station that I know of in the world anymore. So, yeah.
Right. And number two is I called WISN 12 TV last night in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And to tell them about Bob and his granddaughter.
Sam.
And they didn't know it.
Yeah, Sam and Emery. Sam and Emery. Good.
And they didn't know anything about it.
Okay.
So if Sam is listening, please call them. They will investigate. They will go to the house.
Well, that'd be great.
That would be great.
But all right.
Sam needs to call them because they didn't know anything I was talking about. But yet, I heard his story on their channel a month ago or so.
Okay, so Channel 12, WISN TV 12. Sam, call them, the news department. All right. I hope he will. I hope he heard this.
Because they'll investigate that. And so I'm doing fine, except my vision isn't, but I'm doing fine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I talked to my brother.
Yeah.
And his wife is home today.
Good. Oh, so that was quick. Good.
But what happened yesterday drove him freaking nuts. Sunday, his wife was sitting with the two children, and they were all having a good time. And then mom wasn't even there, and they said, that's it. We need to take her to the emergency room.
Okay.
So we took her to the emergency room and stuff like that. And then yesterday at 4 a.m., he gets a phone call. They told me I can go home. And he goes, they don't release people at 4 a.m. Oh, yeah, two guys came into my room and told me I have to get out.
What?
So he raced over there, found out she ripped out her IVs, tore off her ID tag, and said, three guys told me I had to get out. And the nurses were, going crazy. And they finally got her settled down and everything. And then... later on, he went back home, and at 8 o'clock, he gets a phone call, I need food, bring me food. And then he gets over there, and stuff like that. And she says, three guys have been coming out of those doors,
mm-hmm.
and they were the closet, hospital room, the closet doors. So he goes, opens the door, punches the back of the closet. It's not a door. And he goes to the other one. He's not a door. Everything is fine. And then 11 o'clock, the doctors come in and took 500 cc's of fluid out of her lungs because he told me she had water on her lungs. And they calmed her down and everything. And now I called them today and she said, oh, she's home. But he told me he's very crazy because he found a video on her phone that in March she was getting up from the chair, walking to the bathroom and everything, and then now she doesn't even move. And he goes, I don't know what's going on. It's driving me freaking nuts, And so that's what's going on there.
So sorry.
The hospital told him that she sits in her recliner and lay in a lay position, and that's what's causing the fluid on her lungs.
Okay.
So I think when he told me that yesterday, I'm trying to find her phone. She wants her phone, you know. So he wants, and I think he fixed her chair because, you know, he's okay. very adept at everything, that it wouldn't recline.
Okay.
Because after they told him that,
right.
I think that's that. So she's home. Now, my other sister, I don't know what's going on. I can't get a true assessment of what's going on. And what happened was last Sunday, I think it was Sunday, it might have been Saturday, last Sunday or Saturday, she was found laying on the floor, and the neighbor saw her with the front door open, and then her husband was a Chicago policeman, was walking by, and they called an ambulance. And they came, and she was totally out of it, and they took her away. And it, you know, mm-hmm. it right away, it freaked me out what's going on. And then they took her to the community hospital that was not far away. And they turned around and says, we can't do anything here. And they sent her to,
another
Illinois
hospital.
Masonic.
Okay.
Yeah. Illinois Masonic. They found out that she had a aortic, you know, when you have a growth on
okay.
your aorta.
All right.
Right.
Yeah.
And they said that's what she has. But she was out of it. She wasn't even conscious or anything.
Right.
So then they went on and on with that. And my brother, who was taking over as power of attorney, you know, he was racing back and forth all the way down there
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And then they turned around and said, you know, they're going to run tests and all that kind of stuff. And she, all of a sudden, she's, for 72 hours, she wasn't there.
Okay.
So then my brother, you know, running back and forth from mm-hmm. his job and going down there. And so, and then it, you know, turns out that they're going to put a stent in.
Okay.
So they went and they did the procedure. They put a stent in, and then they turn around and says it's leaking. So, and stuff like that. So then all of a sudden he goes in there, and one day she's, you know, up and awake, and the next day she's totally gone. You know what I mean? Not even there. So now they transferred her the other day to a rehab center in Park Ridge.
Okay.
So she's there.
All right.
And my brother goes there, and hi, how are you? What's happening? And then the next day he goes to visit her. She's not even there.
Yeah.
She can't even
right.
pick up a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
She can't pick up a spoon or anything. He had to feed her. And they don't know what's going on. But here's the whole thing that I'm arguing with them all along is, my sister's been drinking for 50 years, and I'm trying to tell them, my brothers and sisters, that this is her, you know, she's, first they said in the hospital she's going through DTs and everything, and I'm going, I don't understand this. And I'm, you know, one minute it's like she had a stroke, and the next minute, you know, because
it's something else, right? All
talk,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's freaking me out.
Don't let it. You can't make this be your problem. You can't carry this burden. From what you told me, they will not even allow you to speak with her. And so this is not your burden. Fine to say a prayer, but other than that, don't fixate on this. There's nothing you can do because there's nothing they will let you do. And because of that, spend all of your emotion worrying about it, it doesn't help her and it hurts you.
I stopped being emotional about this.
All right, good. Well, you sound it right now. You sound very emotional about it.
No, I'm
okay,
I'm very calm about it right now.
All right. Well, that's the way you should stay.
2 days ago, I'd be crying.
Right. Well,
but right now, I'm very emotional. I just don't know if they're telling me truly what's going on.
And if they won't. See, this is what I'm saying. I understand how you feel, but you're spending a lot of emotional currency on something that you cannot control, and for whatever reason, they are not letting you in. So there's nothing you can do except take care of yourself. Be selfish.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Turn it over to the Lord and say, all right, Lord, I hope you'll do whatever is best. And that's it.
I finally got ticked off 2 days ago and I called her. And my sister answered the phone.
And wouldn't let you talk to her.
First thing she said is, oh, no. You know?
Well, so that...
I got to talk to my sister.
Okay.
And I said, what's going on? And this is when she was lucid.
Mm-hmm.
And, this and then that. And then the next day, my brother went there to visit her at rehab. She couldn't even pick up a spoon.
Right.
She didn't know where she was.
Right.
And I want to know if this is all the influence of all the alcohol she drank for 50 years.
It's a variety of things.
If she's having a stroke.
No, she's probably not having a stroke, but it's a variety of things. But again... You can't, you've got to remove yourself from this. They're not letting you in, and so be it. I would not allow yourself to get embroiled in this, really, because there's nothing you can do. They're not going to let you do anything.
Right, but you don't understand. My sister and I were very close growing up.
That was then. Don't get emotional on me. That was then, and this is now. And I understand the pain of this. Believe me, I'm not minimizing that. I'm just saying that there's nothing you can do in this situation, unfortunately.
Right, but I don't understand what's going on.
Well, and they don't want to tell you.
Right.
So then that's it. Like I say, there's nothing you can do to change that. I wish there was, but there isn't. So with that in mind, don't allow much emotional currency on this. I know it hurts. It has to hurt, of course. But there's nothing you can do, so don't dwell on it. I mean, you've certainly tried to call. You've tried to get involved. They've told you in no uncertain terms you're not welcome to it. So what do you do? No reason to waste any emotional currency.
They didn't tell me I was not, allowed to find out. But they know that I... get very emotional.
Well, and that's not helping anybody.
Right.
Including you. Not helping them and not helping you.
And like I told my friend, she was over today for 3 hours. I'm good. I'm in a good place.
Well, you don't sound it right now.
Right, because I don't know what's wrong. No one will tell me.
Well... I wish I could help you, but all I'm hearing is they're not willing to tell you. So with that in mind, you call when you can and you say, hey, will you please tell me? And when they won't tell you, you don't allow it to be emotional because there's nothing you can do about this.
Right.
And again, I'm not saying don't let it hurt. It will hurt. But don't actively let it occupy your mind and your time.
And can I tell you the truth? I was going to ask you to talk about this off the air, but I just did it now on the air. So.
That's the only way I can, frankly, because, call, John laughs, my callback list, the only way to get off it is to die, literally. I have people that I've been meaning to call back for literally years, so no, there's no off the air in my life.
Right.
Sorry to say.
Agree.
Yeah.
So
that's where you are.
This whole conversation has been garbled.
Okay, I know that. I can't do a thing about it.
I don't know if I should scream it.
No, you were fine.
WGN tomorrow.
No, you were. It has nothing to do with WGN whatsoever. Nothing to do with WGN, and every word you said was heard.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Take care of yourself, Jim. Put yourself first.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, so, real tough. And not to minimize someone's pain, but oh man, I don't see any other advice. And like I say, I'm going to the other studio tomorrow night because clearly there's problems here. But this is not WGN's fault on any way, shape, or form. It's just internet infrastructure. And if I could fix it, Well, hell, I'd be rich. Really rich. All right, but we can go to the other studio and we will. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. I think I'm at a detox here. And we'll talk to KB, we'll talk to Ruth, we'll talk to Laura, and hopefully you two on WGN Radio.
Well, I called my baby and I told her to be down at the juke joint waiting for me, cause I'm a juke joint Johnny. I know every joint in town. I'm a juke joint Johnny and I'm always juking around. Now I work all weekend to draw my pay. I hit a juke joint and I throw it all away, cause I'm a juke joint Johnny. I guess I'll always be. I'm a juke joint Johnny and a juke joint is home to me. Still going strong, cause I'm a juke joint Johnny. Yeah, now watch me go. I'm a juke joint Johnny, and baby, you're stepping slow. I know every gal that wants to have fun, cause I'm a juke joint Johnny. There ain't no flies on me. I'm a juke joint Johnny, and a juke joint is where I'll be.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's absolutely a who's who of country music as far as the session players. Cleveland Dennis had requested that. It isn't the original version, interestingly, but that's Red Sovine in 1956 on Decca, and everybody from Grady Martin to Chet Atkins and on played on that session. It was truly a marvel. And as I say, it was not the original. That came about 4 or 5 years earlier, when the guy who wrote it, Laddie Moore, did it. And if you were wondering, just in case you like to know these things, here's how it sounded originally.
Well, I called my baby and I told her to be down at the juke joint waiting for me, cause I'm a juke joint Johnny.
And he's playing lead guitar on that himself. Laddie Moore was originally from Kentucky. For a while, he was living in Indianapolis as a teenager, and he was emceeing the Midwestern Jamboree on WIBC. And then a year later, he wrote Juke Joint Johnny and recorded it on the Speed label in Nashville, then re-recorded it in 1956 on ARC. And there are some that said that was the first rock and roll record recorded in Nashville. That's arguable, by the way. But from 53 to 63, he put out, I'd say, more than half a dozen singles on King and a number of things. But, of course, it was 4 years later that, that Red Sovine re-recorded Juke Joint Johnny with everybody. Buddy Harmon was playing drums. I mean, it was a good session. So, all right, that was Cleveland Dennis wanting to hear that. All right, KB in Buffalo, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi. Well, I don't want to know about Juke Joint Johnny, but I was wondering about someone missing in action. Has anyone heard from Johnny in Austin?
You know, this is terrible because he's on my infamous callback list. I did hear from him. He said he wasn't feeling that well. Things were going on with him. And he said, call me after the show some night. And, oh, my God, I realized that was in January. So I think I need to call him.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites. I always like to hear about the new CDs he got.
Yeah, me too, absolutely. So I'm going to do that. No matter what, I'm going to make it a point to stop what I'm doing and call him within the next week.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling. I'll let you know.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So, yeah, shame on me. So it's just terrible. And it's not only friends. I mean, I'm just notorious for this just because, you know, there's no time. And usually when I find a few minutes, it's 4:15 in the morning, which no one wants to hear from me then. Steve in Western Springs, Illinois, welcome to WGN Radio.
Raleigh, thank you. It's always great to talk to you. Highest kudos to you and John tonight, soldiering on through a difficult night.
Yeah, thanks.
What are you going to do, though? Also, you're getting an interesting array of callers. I don't have any physical or psychological problems, so can I continue?
I don't see why not. It's a wonderful break from reality here. Go for it.
By the way, before you were... The story you told about Alan Freed, Dick Clark,
yeah,
you had me Googling Lucille Clement.
Ah!
That's an absolute... That is a great story.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember for years, I lived at the Americana Hotel. That's why I knew what was going on. I was a kid. So I grew up with that, literally. And it was known, but, you know, everybody who knew has since passed away. So I'm left.
That would make a wild movie, don't you think?
Oh, that whole convention could have been. Yeah, it was unbelievable. And... What can I say? There was never a third annual disc jockey convention, as you can imagine.
Raleigh, this question veers a little bit. You periodically make mention of your book being available online. A couple weeks ago, I tried to find it, and I couldn't. But I was redirected to other things about you.
Mm-hmm.
There were two videos on there, and they were circa 2000, 2002.
Mm.
You were participating in panel discussions.
Mm.
One was on C-SPAN. I don't know what the other one was on.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I know I did a bunch of them. I know that what I like to call PMSNBC would never have me back after I called Hillary a dedicated Marxist. So, you know, I was on a bunch of them.
Well, anyway, there was one... You were on about an 8-person panel, which is too many people to have on a panel.
Oh, yeah. It was probably one of those ones at the Heritage Foundation.
Well, the moderator was a kind of a robust fella, probably late 40s, 50-ish, glasses, balding a bit. Of the 8 panelists, he clearly wanted to keep going to you.
Oh.
And you had a lot of, like, New York, Boston types constantly cutting in, saying nothing.
Okay.
But you had on, like, a pinkish turtleneck sweater. You photograph so well. Did you ever do television?
Oh, hell no. No, I'm... I clean up all right, I guess, but I never had any... I don't even like having a still picture taken. I'm not visual at all.
You never even... During your radio career, nobody ever said to you, why don't you stop by... the sister station, cut a tape, or whatever.
Oh, sure. I never was interested. The only thing I did once as a gag, when I was in San Diego, they had a thing where they were looking for a weather person, and they were asking amateurs to, like, send in tapes. So as a joke, what I did, because I thought, how can I make this funny? Because I didn't want the job, obviously, but I was doing it as a goof. And so what I did was I went down to Sears, where they had all those TVs and VCRs. I said, well, I was just walking through Sears, and they had VCRs, so I thought I'd just do this tape. It got circulated all through San Diego. People just loved it. But needless to say, I was not interested in being the weather girl.
Well, I'm not being gratuitous when I say this. You just photographed so well during these panel discussions.
Oh.
I mean,
no,
seriously,
never.
I'm very surprised that you...
No, and I never took any of that stuff seriously, you know, as far as that goes. You know, if I was in D.C. to do a panel, all I really wanted to do was listen to WOL at night and hear some obscure R&B oldies. You know, I didn't care what was going on politically.
During the years, though, as you saw other women on TV, and even like going back to the 60s, Virginia Graham, Jenny Jones in the 90s, didn't your competitive juices get flowing a little bit?
Not at all. And yeah, Jenny Jones was a drummer. I have an album where she's actually on the back of it swabbing down Sandy Nelson's dick. So in her drumming days. But no, good for her. Good for all these people. Just never had any interest in that. And really, I was probably approaching middle age before I stopped wearing radio station T-shirts and jeans because, you know, those T-shirts were free. So I never cared about that stuff. It's just not anything that I never cared about working. I only worked when I needed the money. If I could make enough money that I didn't have to work for a year, by golly, I wouldn't.
You would have been very happy just to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Believe me, if I had enough money where I never had to work, you would have never heard of me. I do not have any desire to do any of this.
Why? Well, okay, you continue to do it because it's a means to an end.
Well, I also continue to do it on WGN for one reason, and I will, no matter what, as long as I'm breathing, I'll do this. Someone who saved my career more times than I can count, who has done so much for me, called me about five and a half years ago and said, you know, I want you to do nights on WGN. And, you know, if he said, I want you to, you know, march to Beijing, I would have done that. And so I said, you know, for some reason, he thinks I'm God's gift to nighttime talk radio. So misguided that he is, I couldn't talk him out of that. And bottom line is, I will do this for as long as he wants me to do it, as long as I can. And that's why I do it. But I didn't have any desire to come back to be on the air. It wasn't until I got that phone call that I said, oh, I guess I'll do it.
Okay, Raleigh, now what you just said, you've whetted the imaginations of anyone interested in Chicago media. Who is Mr. X?
Oh, it's not a Chicago media guy particularly. It's Sean Compton. He's president of Nexstar Television.
And he called you saying, would you do late nights on WGN?
Yes. And he was smart. And because by the way, he was smart. Because at first he said, and this was in 2000, could you just fill in for a couple shows? I really need somebody, and you're really good at this. And so then after a while, could you do a few more? Could you do a few more? And then he did the magic thing, because he knows me really well. He made it so economically worth my while that I couldn't possibly say no.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, very smart. And, he's absolutely brilliant. I mean, when you watch News Nation, it's him. When you watch Antenna Television, it's him. And, there's only one radio station in the chain. And because his original love was radio, he said, yeah, I'll handle that. So he's over WGN.
News Nation, why do you think it's working right now?
Because it is. In terms of when I see the numbers, when I see the results and all that, it's working.
Now, in Chicago, they just brought in the new GM. Is his name Rick Harris?
I have no idea.
I think so. And I think he's from Cleveland. He was at WEWS-TV. He was somewhere out east. He's only been here since February. And I'm trying to think of who he succeeded here at Channel 9.
Okay, so of course, News Nation is on Channel 9, but it's an entity unto itself.
I see. I did not understand the distinction.
It's national. You see it on cable. You see it on if you've got any of the streaming channels, if you're on YouTube TV or whatever. It's a cable network.
I see. Raleigh, my last question, and thank you for being so patient with
me.
When you were discussing coming on this station, was there any discussion of you going later beyond 1 a.m. Central?
I would have been happy to, but I couldn't do more than 3 hours, and I couldn't do more than 4 days. I fight some physical things that the day's going to come when it's going to be 3 days, frankly. I can tell you that I can see that coming, but it hasn't happened yet. But I couldn't possibly do more than 3 hours.
But if the 3 hours were midnight to 3...
Oh, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care. But they pick them. I don't. Whatever...
The only reason I...
Whatever Sean wants, I do. It's that simple. And someone else wrote to me recently saying, I loved listening to you. You were the one who told me everything that was going on. You knew every conspiracy and on and on and on. And why won't you do that anymore? Because on WGN, they don't want a political show, so I don't give them a political show.
Very, very interesting. Again, only because reading a little bit about your background, clearly, because you substituted for Art Bell for a while.
Oh, I was his designated replacement. I walked from that, too. I walked from a lot of things.
So
yes.
you have traversed that entire extraterrestrial...
Oh, yeah, that's no problem, sure. Right, exactly. I started out in engineering, but that's going way back.
Well, unbelievable. You're incredibly entertaining. Your knowledge is encyclopedic, and tonight I'm going to fall asleep dreaming of Lucille Clement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
At the convention.
Now, if you go to Raleigh.net, there is a link right on the homepage at Raleigh.net to the book.
And then Raleigh.net.
Rolly.net. And right there it says, want to read my book for free? Click here.
Well, thank you. T-H-A-N-K-Y-O-U. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. So let's see what we got here. Oh, we're gonna have Laura, we're going to have Ruth, and poor Ruth's been waiting so long. I don't know if she's still awake, but if she is, she'll be on the radio. And there's room for you, too. And your requests coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, we got about 5 minutes, so we'll forego the bumper because I want to talk to Laura and I want to talk to Ruth. So, Laura, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Good. I'll make this quick. Thanks for having me.
All right.
I just a couple hours ago got back from Texas. I'm just real curious. Do you ever have a situation where you fly anywhere?
I stopped commercially flying in 1999. I got off one of those planes and said, I will never get on another commercial airliner again. And I never have. But wow. But before that, I'd say a million miles maybe. Yeah, I flew a lot.
Oh, wow. Well, the reason I ask, I think O'Hare is one of the biggest airports, but I rarely have a problem there. I went from Chicago to Dallas, Dallas to Abilene, Texas, because that's where I had to go, and there's no straight flight. So we're flying to Dallas Tuesday. We're supposed to get there. Mind you, I got there at 7 in the morning, finally got to a hotel at 6 in the evening.
Okay.
The plane... We were delayed for 4 hours. They says, oh, well, no more planes are being accepted, so you're going to be stuck here overnight. I said, what? So we were stuck overnight in Dallas. I'm sorry. Yeah, in Dallas, and then had to move on to the next spot. Is that a normal thing? It's like, oh, my gosh, what do you mean you're not accepting planes? Well, the weather's bad.
Well,
I never heard of such a thing.
It might have been, but the other thing is, you know, you're talking about going to Abilene. This is a commuter flight for the most part. You're talking about less than an hour in the air. You know, if it were me, I'd have gotten in a car and driven to Abilene, but that's just me.
I probably should have.
So, yeah, right, exactly. So a lot's been going on lately. You know, the biggest one that's in the news all the time now is Newark, because they keep losing their air traffic control. I mean, all the screens just go black. Now, usually only for, you know, 90 seconds, but believe me, when if you're at tower, and you're guiding something in, 90 seconds is not good. So yeah, and DFW is huge. So I thought you were going to tell me you got stuck going from one to another. I can tell you a horror stories about that. But yeah, it happened, sure.
Oh, my gosh. And then coming back home. Well, we're coming back home. Well, Dallas has another issue. We're going to have a delay because, we get on the plane on time. Everything's going good. I says, oh, good. I'm stuck in Dallas again, but there's nothing going to happen this time. Well, I swear Dallas is a jinx. I get on the plane and I see men on the plane. I thought, okay, this is not good. This is not a good sign. Like, we're sitting there finally after 20 minutes. Well, it looks like we're going to be delayed tonight. The reason is the video screen in front of you on the seat ahead of you is having issues, and we have technical problems with that. They're stopping the plane and delaying it because of video issues. It's not like it's a tire flat or some major malfunction. It was like the internet wasn't working or the video. What the heck? I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, firstly, they told you that. I don't know what it was, but so that's number one. What they say and what it is are not necessarily the same thing. As a rule, DFW is not bad. You know, usually the delays are not more than 15 minutes, but things happen. Now, as far as weather, you know, when there's a weather issue, you do not want to land those planes. And if you remember, it's now been probably almost 40 years, but Delta, you know, went down because of a microburst on landing, killed everybody on board. You know, we now have so much more in terms of radar to know what's possible that you darn right they're going to stop that. So there's a variety of things that go on. But in general, if I had to pick an airport where I didn't want to fly, I would never be singling out DFW. It's usually not bad. No, it's usually not bad at all.
I guess it was just my luck.
Absolutely. Well, next time you're going Abilene Drive.
For weather,
Yeah.
I mean, for weather or any mechanical thing, hey, I'm not going there.
Well,
I'll be glad to stay over a couple of days.
Yeah. I if you email me the flight number of the video fiasco, I'll see if I can find out what actually happened.
Okay, well, I'd be glad to.
Okay, thanks.
Well,
appreciate it.
Thank you, Raleigh. Good night.
All right. So, and this is terrible. We were going to talk about DC radio, and I really would have loved to. Dave is a first-time caller from Maryland. I'd love to talk about DC radio, especially back in the day. Yeah, WOL, the great soul rocker of the East Coast, and more. But the show's over. Now, 21 hours from now, we do this again. And there's almost never anything to talk about. So I'm hoping that Dave, a first-time caller in Maryland, will call me back 21 hours from now, because you'll be my first caller, and we'll talk about DC radio all you want. Now, until then, well, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Apologies to Ruth, we didn't get to. We'll do it all again. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.